Excellent, excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those that I haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. How are you guys doing this morning? How are you feeling? Good, good. I don't know if you know this or not, but studies show that the past week is actually the most depressing week of the year. Have you heard this? This is actually a proven thing, that the third week of January is the most depressing week of the year. They say there's all sorts of different factors that contribute to that. One is the excitement of winter is over, although I'm not sure we actually had winter so far this year. And then there's the fact that Christmas is over. And then on top of that, it's the third week of the month. So you get your credit card statement from Christmas, which contributes to the depression. But luckily for us, we've taken Financial Peace University, and so we didn't get that bill this past week. Here at Hoboken Grace, over 700 people have actually taken Financial Peace University, and it's amazing. It's interesting. For my wife and I, this is the second Christmas that we've walked through Christmas and actually spent what we had saved for Christmas. It's amazing when you come out of Christmas without debt, isn't it? And some of you are like, what are you talking about? I got my credit card statement. Well, you need to take Financial Peace University. And that is my shameless plug. My shameless plug for the fact that Financial Peace University is beginning right now at Hoboken Grace. And as I said, this isn't just a nice thing that we do here at Hoboken Grace. This is actually fundamental to what it means to be part of Hoboken Grace. Because we believe in engaging finances in the way that God's taught us, in a way that brings life instead of a way that brings stress. And so on the app, you can see information about that. If you haven't gone through that, you need to be a part of that as we walk into this next year and make sure that the third week of next January is a much better week for you. If you haven't been with us for the past couple of weeks, we've been walking through this conversation called New. And we've been looking at this powerful reality that there is no end to the new with Jesus. And I know oftentimes in our culture we say, well, I just am who I am. There couldn't be anything further from the truth. And we've been looking at how as Jesus steps into our life, he says, No. I have come to change that. I've come for you to know, for you to experience, for you to step into the new. Not just once, not just occasionally, but consistently to experience the new and who it is that I created you to be. Throughout this time, we've been looking at this passage that we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23, where it speaks directly to this. And it says, I want for you to take off the old, and I want for you to put on the new. And we've been coming back to this passage. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. He said, I want for you to experience the new. And so we've been looking at, okay, how? Now, we don't want to just know this. We don't want to just know that we should do this. But then how do you actually practice this? How do you actually take off that old and put on that new? And so the past couple of weeks we've been looking at that. We talked about how the new is not just the elimination of the old, but we have to actually do the work of figuring out, okay, what's the opposite of that? What's the opposite of that, that Jesus is calling me into in my life? And then we looked at how our strength in this, our power in this is not our strength. It doesn't come from us, but that it comes from him. And that if we're going to be able to take off the old and put on the new, then we have to stay plugged in. We can't just plug in on Sundays and buy into the idea that we have this incredible battery life. No, we have to stay plugged in, because if we're not plugged in, we don't work. If we're not plugged in, we don't work. And then last week, Anthony walked us through this truth that if we're going to take off the old, we have to share it with someone. We have to bring it out into the open. Let me share with you this passage found in James chapter 5. It says this. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And in this moment, he's saying, listen, I want for you to bring the old out into the open. I want for you to find someone that you trust that you can share this with, to be in a community where you can share the old with someone around you, because as you walk through that, it brings healing. This is another way of saying the new. It brings healing, right? It allows you to be able to experience the new, and you're able to be able to take off that old and experience the new. And he says, I want for you to bring it out into the open, because you need to, when you keep it inside, you buy into the lie that this defines you, that this is who I am. But when you bring it out, it gives others the ability to speak into your life and say, okay, I know you're taking that off, but I want you to understand something. That's not who you actually are. It allows us to be able to separate, okay, who am I actually? Who has God actually made me to be? And then identifying the old that I'm taking off. And so we've been looking at, okay, how do we not just know this? How do we do this? And today, as we wrap up this conversation, I want to take you to one final passage and one final step in how we do this. So go ahead and pull out your phones, open up that Notes app that we've been using as we've been walking through the past couple weeks, because I've been asking you to identify on that Notes app. Okay, what is the old? What is the new? Who are you going to share this with? What does it look like for you to stay plugged in? What are you going to do to make sure that you stay plugged in? Are you just trusting that battery life? Are you staying plugged in? Go ahead and pull out your phones, open up to that, because we're going to keep working through that as we walk into this next step, as we look at this next passage. It's actually found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to pick up in verse 8, and it says this. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Now, to give you a little bit of context, inside of this letter, Paul has been trying to help them live for what's most important. We spent an entire series last year walking through this book and looking at how he's helping them to live for what's most important. And at the end of it, as he's getting to the application side of it, how do you actually live this? He says this. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Let me jump back to the beginning. He starts off and he says, I want you to do one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. He says, okay, as you look at how to apply this, as you look at how to step into the new, here's what I want for you to do. I want for you to make sure that you're focused on the dream. I want for you to make sure that you're focused on the new. Because he understands something that's true about you, it's true about me, that was true about them. And that is this. We have a tendency in this process, rather than focusing on the new, we focus on the old. And so we focus on what it is that we're going to eliminate, what it is that we have to get rid of, what it is that we no longer want to do. And so some of you have walked through this and say, okay, I want to be able to take off anger. I want to put on encouragement. And so you're focused on, okay, I'm not going to get angry. And you walk into the day and that's your focus. In this passage, you say, no, I want for you to focus on what is right. I want for you to focus on the new, what is pure, what is lovely, what it is that Jesus is leading you into. Because here's the thing. Listen to me. And all of us understand this. Your attention impacts your direction. It's a fundamental principle of life. Your attention impacts your direction. All of us learned this when we were trying to learn how to ride a bike. Some of you don't know how to ride a bike yet. You should really work on that. But all, we all learn this as you learn how to ride a bike, because you get on that bike, and I've experienced this with my boys, and you start pedaling, and it's unbelievable. My son, my youngest son, is learning how to ride his bike. He can be doing an amazing job, and something walks into his path. It can be just kind of at the edge of his path, and immediately, you know what he does? He focuses in on it. He's like, I gotta make my way around it, and he focuses in on it, and you know what he does every time? He hits it every time. Every time. You have unbelievable aim. You have unbelievable aim. You learned this when you started to drive a car, didn't you? I remember when I was learning how to drive, my parents were a little interesting when it came to this, because I had just started learning how to drive, and we were driving from Alabama to Michigan. And my dad's like, okay, take over for the next couple hours. I'm like, I've driven maybe a handful of times on a road. I don't know. And I remember we were in the middle of Nashville. And this van pulled up beside us. And it was big. And it kind of caught my attention. And so I looked at it. And my dad's like, don't look at the car. And I said, I don't understand. What do you mean? He said, and then he said, look where you're going. And you know what had happened? As soon as I started to look that way, what happened? I started to go that way. You have unbelievable aim. And when you focus in on something, you will hit it every time. And so he said, wait, no, I don't want you to focus on what you're getting rid of. I want you to focus on what you're stepping into. I want you to focus on what is right, what is good, what is pure. I want you to focus on where it is that God is leading you. Not what it is that you're walking away from. But for some of you, as you've walked into this, your entire focus is still on what you're going to get rid of. No. Change your focus. Focus in on the dream. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely. He says, I want for you not to, and this is the way, this is what I want for you to think about. I want for you not to eliminate someone, but to become someone. There's a drastic mindset shift there. And some of you, as we've walked through this, you say, okay, I want to eliminate someone. I'm trying to eliminate. No, I want to become someone. And instead of walking in this and saying, okay, I'm a person who doesn't get angry, to be able to say, no, I'm a person of encouragement. Instead of saying, okay, I'm a person who doesn't worry, to come in and say, no, I'm a person who engages God about what's going on in my life and trust him with the future. There's a very big difference in those two. And let me speak to this for just a second, because when I say that, like, okay, this is who I am, and I'm pursuing that. In the self-help world, there's this idea, and they talk about this idea of focus. And they talk about, okay, with your focus, you can bring certain things into your life. And so if you just tell yourself over and over again that something's true about you, then it will become true about you. And as we walk through this, some of you may be thinking, well, that's the same thing that he's talking about. But here's the difference. As you walk through this and you say, I'm not a person of anger, I'm a person of encouragement, I want for you to understand something. As you say that to yourself, you are not lying to yourself in order to change yourself. You are actually speaking the truth about yourself into your life. Let me explain why that's true. In order to do that, I want to take you to a passage. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says this. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, this passage is so powerful, one of the most significant passages in all of the scriptures. It's talking to you directly about what Jesus has done for you. And it says, God made him, it's talking about Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. In other words, what he's saying is that old person that you used to be, God took that and he made Jesus to be that person. And Jesus took the punishment that that person deserved. Jesus took the shame that that deserved. He took all of what that deserved. And then, but that's not it. It continues. It says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus got credit for all the screwed up things that you've done, and you get credit for all the wonderful things that he's done. And God says, this is the trade that I want to make with you. And some of you are here and you're just exploring this whole Jesus thing and what this is about. This is the heart of what it's about. And God says, I want to make you new, and I'm going to give you the righteousness of my Son. I'm going to make you no longer that person who gets angry, but I'm going to make you that person of encouragement. Listen to me. So when you continue to live in the old, you live an inauthentic life. And unfortunately, many followers of Christ are living inauthentic lives. You're not actually being true to who you are. Because this is who you are. This is who you've been made. This is what God has given you. And so when you tell yourself that, you're not trying to trick yourself into something. You're stepping into an authentic life, the authentic life that Jesus gave his life for you to know and for you to live. Unfortunately, oftentimes when people say, well, hey, man, I'm just keeping it real. Almost every time you hear that, hey, I'm just keeping it real, it's an excuse to do something stupid. Almost every time, it's an excuse to do something real. But for those who are followers of Christ, when we step into love, when we step into forgiveness, when we step into encouragement, when we step into hope, we are able to say in those moments, listen, I'm just keeping it real. Because that is who we really are. So he says, I want for you to focus on that. I want you to focus on who you really are. I want you to focus on where Jesus is taking you. I want you to focus on what is good, what is pure, what is right, what is lovely. And understand, your attention, it impacts your direction. And so he begins. He says, I want you to change your focus. But he doesn't stop there. As a matter of fact, he continues and he says this: keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Listen to the beginning of that. Keep putting into practice. There's another place in the scriptures where the writer Paul, he compares this journey with God to physical practice. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy. It says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. He says, I want for you to practice this. Now I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, practice? Are we talking about practice? A few of you got that joke. You can go back and Google Allen Iverson and practice. You'll hear a historic speech. I guess it's not that historic. Only about five of you knew what I was talking about. Allen Iverson is interesting. He's probably one of the most gifted basketball players to ever live. One of the most naturally gifted basketball players to ever live. But unfortunately, he never actually lived up to his potential. You know why? He didn't believe in practice. Unfortunately, the same thing is true about many followers of Jesus. And the reality is that they've been made new. The reality is that Jesus wants to lead them into this. But unfortunately, I think for many of us, we think about our spiritual journey the way that oftentimes kids think about life. I have this conversation with my boys all the time, because I'll have my boys try something, and then they'll try it and they'll look at me, and if they were good at it, they'll keep doing it. If they weren't good at it, immediately they'll say, well, I'm not good at this, and then they'll quit. And they have this idea that they're either going to be naturally good at something or bad at something, and that's just it. You're either good at it or you're bad at it. And one of the things I have to tell them over and over again is, no, you don't just naturally be good at something. You have to practice. It doesn't matter what it is. You're going to have to practice. And they say, well, Dad, I just wasn't good at it. And I say to them, listen, you weren't good at talking at first either, but look at you now. And I wish you'd stop, but you keep going. But I think sometimes we have that same mentality about our spiritual journey. And so at the beginning of the month, you stepped into this and you're like, okay, I'm gonna take off the old and I'm gonna put on the new, but you weren't good at it for the first 2 weeks. And so you're like, well, I'm not good at this, I quit. And you quit. But life, nothing in life works that way. And so he says, I want for you to change your focus. And then I want for you to practice this. I want you to practice. Let me ask you, how can you practice the new in your life? You have your notes out. I want for you to take a second. You're probably gonna have to think about it for a little bit. How can you practice this? And again, as we talked about, as we walked through this series, this isn't just about knowing something. This is about doing something. How can you practice? Now, a couple things to think about as you're processing this and as you're identifying how you can practice. One is, it's really difficult to practice stopping something. So this is another place where it forces us to really identify that new, because it's really difficult to practice not getting angry. The only time you get to practice that is when you get angry, and then it's too late. It's really difficult to practice not worrying, because by the time you get there, it's already too late. But you can practice encouragement. You can practice bringing those things before God and engaging God about them in a proactive way as opposed to a reactive way. And you say, well, I'm gonna practice not sleeping around. No. It's practicing valuing the people around you as brothers and sisters in Christ and what I can bring into their life instead of taking something. Remember our key passage. He talked about if you're a thief, it's not that you just stop stealing, but you become generous. You can practice that. It pushes us again towards, okay, what's the dream? What's the focus? Where is it that we're going? How can you practice? Let me just share with you the definition of practice. It's this: to perform an activity or exercise repeatedly or regularly in order to improve or maintain one's proficiency. Now, I would actually add to that, because I think one of the key aspects to practice is this. Rather than that, I'd add a little bit: to perform or exercise repeatedly or regularly in a controlled environment. Well, one of the keys to practice is that you set up a controlled environment in which you're able to consistently execute something, so that when you're in an uncontrolled environment, you actually execute it successfully. I'm coaching my son's basketball team. That's what practice is all about, right? practice in a controlled environment so that you can learn how to improve and execute in a pressure situation. That's what we're trying to do with this basketball team. And we're over and over again in a controlled situation working through, okay, how do I make that pass? How do I make that shot? We're working through all of that so that when they get into the pressure situation, they're able to execute effectively. That's the way you should think about spiritual practice as well. And the reality is, as you begin this, in uncontrolled situations, as you're out there, things are going to happen and you're going to get angry. That's going to be your natural reaction. But practice, consistent practice, what it does is it changes your natural reaction. It adjusts your natural reaction so that in the moment when you don't have time to think, your natural reaction is what you've been practicing. It's the good that you've stepped into instead of the old that you're used to. So God says, I want for you to practice. Practice generosity. I want for you to practice engaging God with those conversations about what's happening in your life so that when that thing comes up that usually causes anxiety in your life, it becomes your natural reaction. And at first, this is why you can't get frustrated at first, because at first, your natural reaction is going to be what you're used to. It's not going to change overnight. It takes practice. But if you continue to practice that in a controlled environment, over time, your reaction in the uncontrolled environment will change. And one of the amazing things about this is that we typically think, okay, this is going to change in a day. Usually when you talk to people who've actually taken off the old and put on the new and you ask them, okay, when did this change? You know what they'll tell you? I'm not really sure. But somewhere along the way, my natural reaction is shifted. Somewhere along the way, the old was just gone. And we think about, here's another mistake that we make, and I think it's partially because as they're trying to paint this picture for us, they're trying to help us to understand it. And so we think, man, you take off the old and then you put on the new. I actually think that the scriptures, as you look at how it teaches us to do this, it actually says, no, you put on the new and then there's just no room for the old. And throughout this conversation, one of the things that Anthony has been saying, as I've been talking to him, following the conversations, and he talked about it last week as well, he says, you know, the old is comfortable. It's our natural reaction. We're comfortable because we've experienced it before. It's just kind of what we've lived with. And so, but as you practice somewhere along the way, the new becomes comfortable. Because the reality is, it's authentically who you are. And Jesus gave his life for you to know that, for you to experience that. And here's the thing, listen. The mission of Jesus, the world around you, needs for you to live up to your potential. this community needs for us to live up to our potential. Your family needs for you to live up to your potential. This isn't just about us. And the reality is, you need for you to live up to your potential. Because what Jesus has for you, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, it's found as we follow him into our potential. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to take off the old and we're going to put on the new, we have to stay plugged in. We have to be honest about it. Understand, this isn't who we are. This is just something that I'm taking off. And keep our focus on where it is that he's taking us. And practice. Over and over again, practice what he's calling us to. At the beginning of the series, we talked about, how do I take it off? How do I put it on? And most of you, as you sat here in week one, you said to yourself, okay, I get it, but how do I do that? This is how we do it. Now the question is just this. Will we? Will we? Will we actually step into the new? Not just once, not just occasionally, but will we engage the rest of our lives understanding, and listen to me. You have only begun to taste your potential with Jesus. There is no end to the new with him. Will you follow him into that? Dad, we come to you today, and I pray that as we talk about this, I know practice isn't exciting, I know, but as we talk about this, I pray that the potential of it would just captivate us. I pray that we would become incredibly excited about this reality that we don't have to live our lives just settling for the old, that we can actually follow you into this, not by our strength, but yours. Not on our own, but in community. Not overnight, but as we consistently focus on you, focus on where you're leading us, focus on the new to which you've called us. And consistently practice what it is that you've taught us. Father, we pray that we would not be followers who never actually live up to their potential. We pray that we would know and live that potential, not just for us, for our families, for our roommates, for our community, and ultimately for you, so that we can love you the way you deserve to be loved. In Jesus' name.